invite you this morning, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Psalm 27. If you don't, that's okay. I'll be reading it for you, or there are Bibles and should be down in front of you. There you can pull out if you would like. But we're going to be in Psalm 27 this morning and just covering three verses, verses 1 to 3. And today we're going to be talking about fear and how we are to respond to it. Because without a doubt, there are a lot of circumstances in life that we could be fearful about. And from a dark room to a dangerous person to a natural disaster, life is filled with the potential for fear. For some people, they might even say that not a day goes by that they don't feel some sort of fear rise up in them. There are fears over upcoming real events. But there's also fear over upcoming imagined events that we think could happen that usually don't. There's lots of different fears. There's fear of failure. There's fear of others. There's fear of not having enough money. Fear of dying. Fear of losing your job. And so many more things. The list of phobias is a mile long. There's a saying that goes, the only thing certain in life is death and taxes, and they may have forgot something because I would say fearful circumstances could be put in there as well. How are we to respond to these fearful circumstances? Because they do happen a lot of times in our lives. So how are we to respond? Like, should we just run away? Is that even possible? Should we just hide under our covers all day long? Should we just accept fear in our hearts and endure it? Should we try to muster up the courage within ourselves, or is there something else? This passage that we are looking at today shows us that our response to fearful circumstance should really be a firm trust in the Lord. Let me read the passage for you. Psalm 27, verses 1 to 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. Life is full of changing circumstances, and with those changing circumstances, our confidence could often change in God. Because there's some moments where we feel confident in God's control and God's goodness, and then there's the next moment we feel like we're fearful and we're doubtful as we face another, or sometimes we feel like I trust God a little bit, but not fully. There's a story of a guy who was people called Uncle Oscar. And Uncle Oscar was apprehensive about his first airplane ride. And so afterwards, his friends were eager to hear how it went, and they asked him how he enjoyed the flight. And Uncle Oscar said, "Well, it wasn't as bad as I thought it might be, but I'll tell you this, I never did put all my weight down." And how many of us are like that when it comes to fear? We may go through fearful circumstances, but we don't put all of our weight of trust in God. We might say, "Oh, I trust you a little bit," but we don't put all of our weight on the Lord. And what David will show us this morning is that really, point number one, our refuge from fear is the Lord. Our refuge from fear is the Lord. Some people feel refuge at home. Others may not. Some people feel refuge in the arms of a loved one, or maybe it's somewhere else. Well, as Christians, our ultimate refuge is the Lord. He is our ultimate refuge. And these verses show David, and he's someone who has great assurance in the Lord. One commentator put it this way. He said, "These verses sparkle with mounting confidence, which men, enemies, an army, and even war cannot shake." But if you notice what David says, he says, "The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life." And so when faced with fear, what did David do? He pointed to his solution as the Lord. That was his solution. And so for David, it wasn't just that the Lord was his past salvation, her past light, or even his future stronghold, but really, he points to how the Lord is truly and fully those things at all times for him. What a comfort for us who are often fear-filled people, that we can trust the Lord at all times. At all times. So that means as fears assail you as you lay in bed, sometimes for us it can be that's when the anxiety comes. When fears arise within you when you're out and about doing something and something reminds you of something and you feel this fear rising within you, God can be your stronghold. The God who always and ever is our light and salvation and stronghold. And so if God is my light and my salvation and my stronghold, that means I cannot substitute other things for him. Meaning I am not my own stronghold. What a horrible stronghold I would be for myself. I'm the one in fear, right? Other people are not your salvation. They can't save themselves. Material possessions are not the solution. They can be gone in an instant. The Lord God Almighty is our stronghold. When faced with fear, do not trust your inner courage alone, nor human tactics, but trust your God. The Lord is my light. He is my salvation. He is my stronghold. And so if you think about it, David isn't saying merely that God provides those things over here, but he's saying the Lord is my refuge. He actually is the one. Is he your refuge? The Lord is called my light, and it's really this idea of that God is the dispeller of darkness. So think about light and darkness. When it's dark, you can't see, and so there's danger ahead. You could accidentally, if let's just say you're in a forest, you don't have any light at all. Even the moon is there's clouds in front of the moon. You could easily get hurt. You could potentially die if you fell off a cliff or something like that. And so the idea of light is guidance and life and hope. When you can see around you, a dark shadowy figure is frightening in the dimness of a room. But once you shine a light on it, the reality is seen, right? You get to see what it really is. And so when God is our light, he shines forth the deficiencies of the terrors around us, and they lose their teeth. God is our light, but also our salvation. He's the deliverer and a rescuer of our lives. And we admire heroes, right? We admire those heroes we hear about or we see, and those are great things. But really, there is an ultimate Savior and rescuer. And so we cling to him for salvation. God is my light and my salvation. So he's not just the light and salvation of others, but he is mine. Is he yours? Is he truly your salvation? Is he truly your light? You see, to be in the light and to be saved, you have to realize that you're in darkness and you need saving. The Bible tells us that we're all sinners against a good and holy God who made us. And so we're in darkness before Christ. We need to be saved. We can't save ourselves with any amount of good works or amazing deeds. But in love and grace, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be born in this earth and then to go and die for us in order to save us from our sins. Listen to how Jesus talks of himself and how it relates to the idea of light, salvation, and stronghold. Jesus says this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We're told that he is the Savior of the world. We're told that he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You hear the stronghold, right? In his hand is the strong defense. And so you want light, you want salvation, you want stronghold, then find it in Jesus Christ. He's all of those things in one. The Lord is truly our stronghold, our stable defense. And we need a stable defense because life is filled with fearful circumstances, as we are, as already mentioned. You think about David. David wrote this psalm, and David was this strong and capable warrior. He did amazing things in his lifetime. And yet, David doesn't trust himself. He points to a better stronghold. He points to the stronghold of his life. Every other stronghold of life will fail you eventually, because we often try to find some sort of security elsewhere. And so some people, they try to find security in, okay, I have enough money in my bank account. But you know, money can be gone in an instant. Or some people think about, okay, I have possessions. I have a car. I have a house. I have this or that. And so they think that, okay, this will bring me security. But we know possessions get old, or they get lost, or they can get stolen. Other people aren't always reliable, but God is the one stronghold that always remains firm. And so David says, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. It's of his life. You see, David isn't just saying he's the stronghold of this moment, which he is, but he's saying, no, my life. My very life. He's not just the stronghold of other people's lives, he's the stronghold of my life. He's not just the stronghold of my body or my job or my reputation or my house, but my very life. What's more important than your very life? You can trust him with it. And so David's point is, look, God is my stronghold and my salvation and my light. So why do I fear? I don't have to be afraid when I realize that. Have you ever had to remind yourself of the truth in order to calm yourself down? Let's just say that you were told by the owner himself of a theater that you could go backstage. And so you go backstage, but as you go backstage, people are looking at you weird, as if you shouldn't be there. And so, you know, most of us, you start to get nervous. Wait, am I not supposed to be in here? But what do? You remind yourself, the owner himself said I could be here. And so then it kind of calms your fears. And you're like, okay, I can be here. Well, that's what we're to do with our fears, is that we remind them of truth. We remind them of what God has said and who God is. And it calms us as we trust them. That's the key. You have to trust them. Do you trust God's word? Do you trust God's promises? When you get nervous that your needs won't be provided for, do you remind yourself that God is the owner of everything and he has promise to provide for your needs? When you start to get afraid about what's going to happen in the future, do you remember that the Lord holds the future in his hands? Since the Lord is my light, my salvation, my stronghold, then why fear? And some of you are firefighters, and that can be a scary job, I'm sure. You go into dangerous places regularly, but God can be your stronghold even there. Or maybe you're fearful of death as you hear about the death of other firemen who have gone before you, and it confronts you with the reality of your future death, and realize Christ can be your salvation. Christ can be your light. That Christ has said that even though you die, yet shall you live in him. Place your big Lord up against your fears and watch them shrink. Because the light always beats the darkness. The Almighty Savior always rescues those he intends. And the strongest stronghold always protects against the rushing waters. And so David moves on in this psalm, and he shows us in verses 2 and 3 that even though fearful things arise, we can trust the Lord. There's a story of President and Mrs. Benjamin Harrison way back, right? And they were, electricity was pretty new at the time. And so they put it into the White House. And the president and his wife were so intimidated by this new electricity that they refused to touch the light switches to turn them off and on. And it said that even that if the servants weren't around, that they would even go to sleep with the lights on because they were so scared of this new electricity. You see, when we're fearful, we can become frozen in terror. We can become idle where we're like inactive, like we're so scared that you don't act or move. But David shows us that he's not someone like that. He doesn't become frozen in terror when the scary things happen, but he acts in faith. He acts in faith. Because have you ever thought about the potential things that could happen? I'm sure we all do this, right? And it often leads to anxiety and worry as you're thinking about this imagined, oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? Some of us do that for every little thing. And we try to excuse it away. It could happen, you know. And someone says, well, yeah, it could happen, but it's not very likely. And so yet, you know, you excuse those things in your mind. And we can become overwhelmed as we think about those things. But for David, he looks into the future. And he's not filled with anxiety, he's filled with faith. He's filled with confidence as he looks to the future. In verses 2 and 3, he gives these examples of possible fear-inducing situations in the future. But as he thinks about those things, he resolves to be confident in faith, to trust God that even though or even if these things happen, I'm going to trust the Lord. That's really what he does. And so he gives the situation of evildoers attacking him, and he describes them as if they're wild animals. They're eating up, they're seeking to eat his flesh. And so it's this strong imagery. And that's what our enemies can be like. They may appear like that, but David is saying, though that happens, it's they who will ultimately stumble and fall and not him. He's going to have confidence. His enemies, they come in confidence towards him. They come like wild animals intent to tear at him. But they neglect to see the obstacle in their way, the obstacle of God. And oh, what a big obstacle he is that they neglect to see in their arrogance. You see, David knows the outcome is sure because why? Because God's on his side. Because he's on God's side. So do you know the ultimate outcome is sure with God? With God. He says in verse 3 that even if an army came, even if war came, he's going to be confident. You think about an army encamping around you, that would be a pretty intimidating thing to go through. I mean, that would cause a lot of fear and trembling. And often the anticipation is harder than the actual going into it. But for David, he's not going to fear. He's going to be confident in the Lord. And so though our enemies may gather around us, though sin creeps at the door, though trouble looms around the corner, we don't have to panic. We can actually be confident in the Lord. Our hearts don't need to melt. Our hearts can be solidified with faith. And so what David is showing us is that we aren't to be people who just put on a brave face, even though we're not truly brave inside. But he shows us that we can be people who our hearts are actually free from fear. He's a prime example of someone who did that. And so this means that you can look ahead to the future possibilities, and we all do this in our mind. We can look ahead and we can trust God. Where we say, even though my bank account may go dry, yet I will trust the Lord. Even though everything is taken away from me, I have God. Even though I lay on my deathbed, I can still be secure in the Lord's hand because this earthly life is not all that there is. There is eternal life in Jesus Christ. You can have that confidence. You can have that hope. David had it. He was resolved with confident faith as he thought about the future certainties and uncertainties. As he thought about the what-ifs of life, he trusted God with them all. Of course, nowadays we don't typically have enemies coming at us like David. But of course we do face enemies that are fierce. The Bible talks about how the devil is like a roaring lion, right? Seeking to whom he will devour, right? And he's trying to shoot flaming spiritual arrows at us. Of course, other people may persecute us. Sin is trying to entangle us. Death looms over us. But through Christ, he gives us the victory amidst those things. And that is where our ultimate hope can be, is those who trust in Jesus Christ. One of the most amazing chapters in the Bible is, of course, Romans 8. And it says this: if God is for us, who can be against us? Think about that. If God is for us, who can be against us? He goes on to say, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And since all of this is true, what does Paul conclude? He says, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, Paul agreed with David, the Lord is my light, my salvation, and my stronghold. So that no matter what we face, if we trust in Jesus Christ, we're safe within his loving arms. Absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so that means no enemy, no future event, not even our own physical death can do that. And so we see that looking at these verses this morning, that we should really draw near to the Lord, who is our refuge from fear. Draw near to the Lord, who is our refuge from fear. If you went on to verses 4 to 6, you would see what David determines to do. And what he determines to do is to draw near to God. To draw near to God. And that's what I would encourage you to do. Knowing that God can be your refuge from fear. You see, in fearful circumstances, it's not time to run away in terror. It's not time to trust yourself or some other thing in this world. It's time to draw near to God. His presence is what we need above all. And so go to the Lord today and tomorrow and every day that follows, because he can be your stronghold who never fails. You know, I don't know exactly what fearful circumstances you are facing or what you will face, but this I know, the Lord God is the answer. Every circumstance will be different, but the answer remains the same. And so I want you to think about it. It's not a pleasant experience, but it's important. Is think about, what are your current fears? What do they revolve around? For some of us, it's money, right? And you're worried about, is there going to be enough to pay for the bills, or to do this, or to do that? Or maybe your fear comes with other people. There's someone that's very, very angry with you, and you're a little bit intimidated by them, or you know, whatever it may be. Is it death? Is it just the general uncertainty of life, right? Just the general uncertainty of life is fearful to you. Or maybe for you, it's like the chaos in our country, and it's like, that's fearful to you. Well, remember that the Lord is and can be your light, salvation, and stronghold. So why fear? Why fear? There's a story of a mother and her 4-year-old daughter, and they were preparing to go to bed. Mother was tucking in the daughter at night. And so the daughter was, of course, afraid of the dark, as children often are. And so when the light was turned out, the child caught a glimpse of the moon through the window. And she asked her mother, is the moon God's light? Yes, said the mother. The next question was, will God put out his light and go to sleep? The mother replied, no, my child, God never goes to sleep. And aren't you thankful that God does not sleep nor slumber, but he's always there? He's always there. That means he can always be your light and your salvation and your stronghold. He can be your refuge at all times. No matter what circumstances, no matter what uncertainty, with confidence in our God, we can face no matter what situation we're going to encounter. So whether you're facing fires or financial trouble or tension, family tension, I'm sure we've all experienced that at some point. Something else, yet you can be confident. And this doesn't mean that our physical lives will always be protected, but it means that even though we face those trials and those physical trials and those tensions and the even losing our lives, we can remember nothing will separate me from the love of Christ. That in Him, in Christ, I can stand forgiven before God. That in Him, He can comfort me and give me what I need moment by moment, even when it's hard, even when it's tough. And to know that in Him, He will take me to be with Him someday. And so if you're sitting there here this morning and you're thinking, I want that hope. If you're thinking, I want that assurance that I can be forgiven. If you're sitting here this morning and you say, I want that assurance of salvation and of eternal life, then the Bible shows us the answer. The Bible shows us that you must admit that you're a sinner who has sinned against the good and holy God who created you, who created all of us. And realize that there's no way to save yourself. There's not enough good works that can merit and reach a certain point. There's not enough, no way to do that. And so you must admit this and then confess your sin to God. Trust in Jesus Christ to be saved, knowing that He went to on the cross and He died so that I can be forgiven. So that I can have eternal life. Meaning He took my place. He took your place. So that you can be forgiven before God. You can be reconciled to God and have eternal life. You can be His child. Jesus is the way to be saved. And so look to Christ as your light, your salvation, your stronghold. Knowing He doesn't turn away any who draw near to Him. So life is filled with fearful circumstances. We all know this. It's filled with fearful people. There's no doubt about it. But what is your response to those times? Because they arise up in our lives all the time. And so the question is, how will you respond? Will your eyes be focused on those fearful circumstances? And will you lead you to anxiety and trembling and worry? Or will you turn your eyes to the Lord and say, whom shall I fear? Let's pray. Dear good and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning for this precious truth of your word. Lord, we are fearful people. There's so many different things in life that could cause us to fear. Lord, I'm sure there's many in this room who face fear even today. But Lord, you are our stronghold, you are our light, and you are our salvation. So I pray that each of us would remember and know that and believe that in our hearts, so that we would continually turn to you in those moments and find our refuge from fear. Lord, you are so good and gracious to us. You have given us Jesus Christ so that we could be forgiven and saved and have eternal life. And I pray, if there's someone this morning who doesn't know Jesus, that they would do that today. They would make it. They would seek out trust in Jesus Christ, or that they would seek out me or someone else to help them through that. But I just pray that they would do that, and they can find the hope of heaven and the comfort that you bring through Christ. And I pray it all in His precious name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.